Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Tracy, for that. That's a new song that you're going to be learning during our Easter season. And Kim, which side? Where is my Kim? Kim, Keem, come quickly, Keem. There he is. Come on out here with me. This is Dr. Kim Powell and his wife, Dr. Lynette Powell. And I'm going to be personal with you for a moment, and then we'll get into one of his passions and callings in life is with Gideon's ministry, but let's start with the personal part. Julie's parents were Gideons, me, Mom, Papa, Ted, and Mary Alice. In 1996, we went to Dallas to the International Gideon Convention, and this is where we first met Kim and Lynette. Met Kim first. It was an outing to a Texas Rangers baseball game. It was like 2,000 degrees outside. It was unbelievable. And you chaperone, and we were chaperoning, and Kim was training the chaperones. And our children were there as well. And so that's where I first met him. And I remember there were some guys that had, they would just get, they're drunker than Cooter Brown. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were drunk. And they were pretty vocal and affecting our students. And here I am, a pastor. I wanted to go up and just punch them. And Kim goes up and starts sharing the gospel with them. And I've watched him do that over and over. I don't know anybody. I really don't know anybody personally. I'm not saying it because we're side by side here, but it's a personal witness the way that Kim does this. It's really incredible. It's beautiful to watch, actually. But from that, we have become great friends, vacationed together, served in ministry together, celebrated life achievements with children, celebrated homegoings with our Tom, and we just heavily been connected. So we had a Gideon emphasis yesterday in Anderson County, and our Sean Rutherford, Sean is the president of our Gideon camp in Anderson County, and so we wanted to have Kim here to challenge us today, just with how God simply places the Word of God, and in line with our Easter series, we're able to see transformation occur in an incredible way. But they also, they are optometrists, they're eye doctors. In fact, his email is eyeball open. Isn't that great? And that's his humor too, by the way. And so we would, when we weren't caring with me and my papa, we would go up there and see them, and they test our eyes. Well, they've retired, and now their son is our optometrist, Dr. Blake Powell. And even these glasses are super duper Powell Vision glasses right here that I have on. So, but in Gideon life, I don't know a couple that travels as much as they do, period, nationally, internationally. It's unbelievable how much they do. But he has served Gideons internationally, zone chaplains, and just all over the world. He serves Ohio, his state. They're Buckeye fans. Yes, they are bragging much because of a national championship. We've been hearing it. Let's just put it that way. They serve Ohio. They serve nationally. They serve Gideons in just a fantastic and a beautiful way. But he's here to challenge us, and then we're even going to tie that into our Easter focus today as well. So, church, would you welcome Dr. Kim Powell and Lynette and him to our stage today?
Thank you, God. Love you.
I wouldn't normally share this, but it's actually a misplaced spit wad that started all that landed in a guy's beer. And it's amazing how the Lord works. So, anyways. Well, on to what we're here for. My girlfriend had an abortion against my will, and I don't know what to do about it. It was a beautiful fall day on campus at the University of Toledo, not far from where I live, and the Gideons from Northwest Ohio were gathered on campus to offer the students and the faculty a free copy of the Word of God. It was a busy time between classes as the students would rush from one class to the next. Did you get your free testament? Here's a free pocket Bible for you. Did you get yours? A young man walked by. He took a testament out of my hand, and I could see out of the corner of my eye, he took just a couple steps past me, and he stopped dead in his tracks. As he turned towards me and I turned towards him, I could see by the look on his face, he was very troubled inside. As I took a step towards him, I said, "Is there something I can do to help?" It was as though it was pent up inside and ready to explode. He said, "Yes, My girlfriend had an abortion against my will, and I don't know what to do about it. I depicted opening that same testament that I just placed in his hand, and I said, yes, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, God says that you and your girlfriend have sinned. And we turned to the back of that testament. I said, but the Word of God says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We continued through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And no, nobody has ever walked this earth except for Christ is not a sinner. But God has paid the penalty for your sins through the shed blood of his Son, who gave his life and shed his blood, as we just sang about on the cross. Paid the penalty for the sins of anyone who received him. And there on that sidewalk, that young man bowed his head. He asked God's forgiveness for his sins, and he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. By that time, my feet were hardly touching the ground as I believe I saw God change a man's heart right before my very eyes through the power of his Word and the work of his Holy Spirit. I encourage him to find a Bible teaching, preaching church just like yours, to find good Christian fellowship and go on to serve the Lord with his life. I also was able to share with him, he could share that same good news with his girlfriend, and that she too could know God's forgiveness and be assured of eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, I just believe in my heart of hearts that someday we'll see that young man, his girlfriend, and I believe that baby in the kingdom of heaven one day. And I'm here this morning to say glory to God and thank you for your partnership in this ministry. It's a joy for Lynette and I to be here with you this morning. We love your pastor and Julie and their family, just their family to us. And we love you too, by the way. You're stuck with me because I'm a brother in Christ. Amen? So thank you for the privilege of worshiping with you this morning and for the privilege of sharing a missions report of what the Lord has done and continues to do through the Gideon Ministry as an extended missionary arm of your church. As many of you may know, the Gideon's International is an association of Christian business and professional men and their Christian wives that the Lord calls to this ministry. Currently, since the beginning of this ministry in 1898, in the minds and hearts of two traveling businessmen that shared a hotel room together, and then as they met the next year with one other Christian businessman, the Lord laid on their hearts to begin a ministry for traveling businessmen. God, through his grace enabling over these years of this ministry, since that time, have grown this ministry so that today, I'm pleased to tell you, there are more than 250,000 self-supporting missionaries around the world. Christian business professional men and their Christian wives have joined the auxiliary. And we, by God's grace, in association with churches just like yours and others around the world, are privileged to place, distribute, and personally share the Word of God currently in 109 different languages and 109 different languages in 199 countries around the world. Before COVID, by God's grace, we were placing and distributing approximately 1 million scriptures every 4 to 5 days somewhere in the world. COVID slowed us down a little bit, but we're getting back to work. And we praise God for what he continues to do through his word. 186 of those countries are what we call international outreach countries. Those are countries that cannot afford to purchase the scriptures that are needed to be placed and distributed and shared in their countries. You know, the Gideon's International is working on behalf and with your church and others like yours. And we are taking the gospel on your behalf to our Jerusalem, where we live. That's happening right here in Lawrenceburg and in Anderson County. In Judea, you might think of that as the state of Kentucky. Samaria, maybe someplace you don't want to go. I've been to some of those places. And the uttermost parts of the earth. God has given us the Great Commission in Acts 1:8, for example. He talks about that. Through his son, Jesus Christ. He's given us a purpose. You are loved if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And whether or not you do, you are loved. But if you know him as your Savior, you've been rescued, amen? And you've been given a purpose. He's left us here so we can share the precious, life-changing, heart-changing, eternity-changing gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen? And I know your church is about that. Praise the Lord for you. Here in Anderson County, the Gideons are placing and distributing scriptures in public schools, homeschools, Christian schools, hotels, in the prison ministry, at Bluegrass Community and Technical College, at Midway University, and we also go into churches. I just heard that VBS, you've got one coming up. The Gideons offer scriptures to children that come to vacation Bible schools. Praise the Lord. And we know that God's word doesn't return to him void. It accomplishes what he pleases, and it prospers where he sends it. Amen? It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. He's given us the Great Commission, and we do that through personal witnessing also. The primary, the single objective of the Gideon's International is to see men, women, boys, and girls come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. By the way, there's an app for that. There's an app for just about everything these days, isn't there? And most of us carry around some kind of smartphone. To date, since the beginning of this part of the Gideon ministry, there have been over 2 million downloads in more than 185 countries around the world. It's available in over 1,500 different languages, many of which can be listened to. I spent some time in the Philippines. It's not uncommon for us to go to a restaurant, and our waitress might even be from the Philippines, for example, and I say, oh, where are you from? Oh, near Manila. Oh, do you speak Tagalog, Visayan, Ilocano? And they say, oh, I speak Tagalog. I say, I'd like to show you something. Open up this Bible app, and you can play the Word of God in their native language, and their eyes open up, and their ears perk up, and you can share that with them by giving them an app card or by even sending a link to that via text or via an email. It's designed for personal witnessing, and it is the Word of God. As we are going, God gives each of us opportunities to share this. This is in my driveway, and my vehicle had almost 254,000 miles on it, but still in pretty good shape, and it actually became a witnessing tool. I couldn't get it started in my own driveway, and so I called AAA, and this gentleman came. His name is Shervon, and it was embarrassing. It was really simple, but he got it started, and I try to keep these personal workers' testaments with me. We purchased with our own funds and the Gideons. And I said, I wonder if I might give you a gift. He said, sure. I said, this book changed my life over 40 years ago. And I'd like to tell you about it. I showed him the helps in the front. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? And he said, sure. I said, on a scale of 0 to 100, how sure are you that you're going to heaven? I've never heard anybody answer this way. He said, I'm 100% sure that I'm going to hell. And that pierced me to the heart. I said, you know, the Word of God says you can know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. He said, no. I took him to 1 John 5, I believe verse 13. It says, these things I have written that you may know, not think, not be pretty sure, that you're going to heaven. And above that, it says, he that has the Son has the life. He does not have the Son of God, does not have the life. I said, would you like to understand that and know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I sure would. We opened that testament to the back. We went through the plan of salvation there. And Shervon, right there in my driveway, bowed his head, asked God's forgiveness for his sins, and he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. I encouraged him to find a good Bible teaching and preaching church. I actually found out where he lived, called a Gideon nearby there, and asked him to invite him to church so he could be discipled in the Word of God. And so thank you for praying. In Ohio, I know here in Kentucky, you're still able to go into the schools. In Ohio, the doors are closed to the schools, and now the schools that are being built in our area are being built so even the buses load on campus. So we go to the public sidewalks around the schools, and we generally place more scriptures in the hands of students on the public sidewalks. It's getting more and more difficult to get to the students. And so one of the things we do is we go to fairs and festivals, and we offer particularly to students, but now to anybody that wants one, a free copy of the Word of God. We do that in Toledo at the Lucas County Fair. We hold forth the Word of Life. Lynette and I were there at the fair, and we have this little tent there and set up a table and so forth. And three young people were walking down the midway there, and I hollered across to them. I said, did you get your free scripture? And the young man in the middle there pulled a Red Testament out of his pocket. He said, I got mine. You know, the Red Testament, we color code our scriptures. That's the one we use when we go into schools. It does not have the helps in the front, does not have the gospel summarized in the back. Of course, it has the Word of God in it. And I said, come on over here, I got a better one for you. And I wanted to give him an orange one that we usually distribute at fairs and festivals that has the helps in the front and the gospel in the back. So all three of these young people walked over to the table, and I began to chat with them, and I explained to them why I wanted to make a trade. And I wanted to give them a better one, you know, that had the helps in the front and the gospel in the back, the Word of God, of course. And so we made that trade, and God is sovereign, he's amazing, and it started to rain. And it says in Job, he covers his hand with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. I believe he brought the rain. And so I said, you want to step inside the tent? And all three of them stepped into the tent with us. And I asked them the same question. I started with the young man. He thought about it for me. He said, I think about 70% sure. I said, how about you girls? They said, yeah, we think about 70%. And I took them 1 John 5, and we went to the gospel, and they opened their testaments to the back, and all three of those young people, glory to God, prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. I don't know their hearts. That's God's business. Our job is to share the gospel and pray that God's word doesn't return to them void and changes hearts and lives for eternity. Amen. We go into jails and prisons, and we were in South Africa, Lynette and I. We went to Polesmoor Maximum Security Prison. There are a lot of people there that have done some terrible things, many on death row. Our primary goal when we went there was to go into death row and share with maximum security, particularly mostly men, the gospel. But the week before we went in, there had been an uprising, a big fight, actually in that area of the prison, so we weren't allowed to go in there. Excuse me. So we were able to share with 200 adult female inmates there. And I shared with them my story and the gospel. And we spoke to them and shared our hearts with them and shared Christ with them. And we estimate that about one out of every four of them, some were already believers, made professions of faith that day. Glory to God. As we are going, we also keep these personal worker testaments with us. We try to be ready in season, out of season, and this is a cafe we stopped to eat at with some South African Gideons, and this is our waiter, Eddie, from Zimbabwe, and there we were able to share a testament and the gospel with him, and he too signed his name in the back of the testament as a remembrance of the day that he had received Christ, and I would ask you to continue to pray for him. He would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and go on and serve him with his life. We went into schools there, just as we do here, and able to share testaments with the students there. There's my favorite auxiliary member. She's sharing a testament there with one of the gals there. I'm sure you've been praying for Ukraine as we have, and I'd encourage you to continue to pray. It's a terrible thing going on, that war over there. We are praying that God will bring a close to that. But God is using that for his glory. I'm happy to tell you there are more than 2,000 Gideons and auxiliary there in the country of Ukraine. There are more than that in the country of Russia, more than 200 Gideon camps in Ukraine, more than that in Russia. These are old numbers, but the most recent number I have is more than 6.5 million Ukrainian refugees have left the country. More than 14.5 million have been displaced from their home. And the Gideons have been faithful there to get scriptures into the hands of those so that God can use that, into the hands of the military. We've sent scriptures into refugee camps and surrounding countries, both in Russian and Ukraine language, and we are getting testimonies back of how God is using that to change hearts and lives for eternity. God led this Gideon actually to join the service after the war began there with the particular goal of sharing the gospel with those on the front lines. God called him to the front lines, and he gave his life. And at his funeral, there was testimony after testimony of how God had used him and the word of God to change hearts and lives for eternity. Glory to God. Thank you for praying. We've been given a purpose, and one of those purposes is to take the word of God to the uttermost parts or the ends of the earth. There are unreached people groups out there even today, and we would ask you to pray. We have a prayer calendar in the Gideon's International, and on 26 of those days, the last country we pray for is one where the Gideon ministry has not been opened or has been opened, has been closed. That's true in the Republic of China. That's true in the country of Brunei. I've been to both of those countries, but the doors are closed right now. Would you please pray? Most of these are Islam countries, that God would open the doors to his word and that many will come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. We have family in one of those countries. We also, as we strive side by side for the faith of the gospel with the church, provide life books. It's the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. In an interesting format, it's the Word of God, but in the sidelines, there are questions that might be asked by an unbeliever, and then answers that direct the reader back to the Word of God. We provide these to youth groups in churches just like yours, and we encourage the youth then, and actually we'll train the youth to go out and share the gospel with their peers into the schools. We can't go into the schools where I live, and so peer-to-peer ministry here from church youth groups. We would love to supply those to your youth group if you would like those or need some more. Last year, more than 3.2 million of these were placed in the hands of young people and youth groups. Here in Anderson County, 500 were provided to youth groups here right in this Gideon Camp area. You can learn more at thelifebook.com. To date, since the beginning of this portion of the ministry in 2010, over 55 million of these have been shared by over 4.1 million student missionaries. Praise God. You might also be interested in the benefit of registering as a friend of Gideon's. You can find more information about this, and we will provide you with prayer requests, other information, even the opportunity to give to help purchase scriptures at gideons.org/friends. Lastly, you might be here this morning as a Christian business professional man or one that's retired, perhaps a retired farmer or teacher or administrator, whatever. I would ask you to prayerfully consider whether God might call you to be a part of this ministry. I know there are Gideons here in your church that are very involved in the Gideon ministry. I had the privilege of going through the Himalayan Mountains in the country of Nepal. It's a beautiful place. The needs there physically are incredible. The needs there spiritually are amazing. I opened some camps there in the mountains of Nepal. One of the places that I went was a place called Beni, Nepal. I remember sitting on the floor of a Quonset hut, an adobe Quonset hut, and there were potential Gideons and auxiliary and pastors around the room here. This man, his name is K.S. Paul, and his wife were there at that meeting. And they did not join that day, but we did start a new camp there. He took some literature and prayed about it. And before I left that country, miraculously, I think, he rode a motorcycle 175 miles over a road that wasn't a road and dangerous terrain. It took him 4 to 5 hours to get to Kathmandu, and more miraculously found me in a guest house actually there and waited 3 hours for me to sign himself up as a Gideon, his wife as an auxiliary member. So please prayerfully consider. Yeah, I'd be happy to talk to you after service, or Pastor Jeff will direct you, or you have Gideons in our church. I know the president of the Gideon camp, Sean Rutherford, is in your church here. We'd love to talk to you about that. See if God would lead you to do that. You can also help by purchasing Bibles using the Gideon Card Bible Program. There's a display here in your foyer. The Gideons will provide free of charge cards where you can place Bibles in memory of a loved one or friend in honor of a special occasion, just because you're praying or thinking of someone. You can even make any card that you want to purchase. If you choose to purchase another card, a Gideon card, today a card will cost you probably more than $5. For $5, you can place a whole Bible somewhere in a hotel or motel for an average cost of $1.56. You can place a testament somewhere in the world. So I encourage you to use that to the glory of God and save your money on those other cards out there. Sorry, Hallmark. Didn't mean it. No, I did. Lastly, thank you for considering what God would have you do in giving. We don't want your normal tithes and offerings to this church. I know this church. I know your pastor. Please don't take funds from that, but prayerfully consider how God might use you giving above and beyond that to help us to purchase and place scripture somewhere in the world. I had the privilege also in the country of Nepal of speaking in a church. It was an amazingly poor church, but brothers and sisters that loved the Lord. And I think there were 3 plastic chairs in that church. Everybody else sat on the floor. And I shared the Gideon ministry just like I did here. They took an offering for scriptures there, literally gave the widow's mite. I know they gave from the heart, and God honors that. It amounted to about $9 equivalent of U.S. That doesn't purchase very many scriptures, but God judges the heart, doesn't he? That's what really counts. But there's no way they can buy their own scriptures, brothers and sisters. You see, empty hands need to be filled so that empty hearts can be changed with the Word of God. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your part in this ministry, and I would pray that God will continue to richly bless you and use you for his glory. Thank you so very, very much. What you do is eternally significant. God bless you.
Thank you. I want to tag Kim today and also introduce you into our series for Easter. At the same time, Logan, if you'll put that graphic up, this is a series we're going into called Switch. It's a beautiful transformation to the song we sang that you're going to hear a lot. We've gone from darkness to glorious light. We're going to handle how God has moved us from death to life. We're going to hear about how he's from being old to new. There was a lady a while ago, in fact, it was Cece, she called me, "You're a good boy." And I said, "I like being called a boy." I like that. How God moves us from old to new. It's all a picture of transformation. That's what you're going to be seeing during this time. And all of this is possible because of the life and the mission, the death and the resurrection of Christ. So we use this, and you're probably going to wonder how and we're going to tie these together. It really fits perfectly. I wanted to give Kim time, but I said I really got to intro this as well for our people as we move into Easter in the middle or April the 20th, I believe it is. Here's something I want you to see that you're going to hear a lot over the next few Sundays. And it's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. He's a very conservative, simple scholar, and I like him for that reason. He's in glory now. Well-written. Everything he does is well-versed and well-written. But he had a statement that jumped off at me years ago. And he said, we need to live, not living for victory, but we need to understand we who believe, we're living from victory. We use Matthew 6 during our Lent season and our Easter focus. And in Matthew 6, it's the sermon of Jesus. He begins by mentioning generosity. You remember I introed that with you. He mentions that we are praying, and then he mentions that we are fasting. So we use those as a guide during our Easter focus to practice generosity and praying and fasting. And not that you don't pray, but let's just step it up a notch, okay? And in that, you're thinking, well, I'm going to do these three things, generosity, praying, and fasting, and it's going to lead me to victory. No. We work from victory. I'm not going to these things for victory or to victory. It's going to make me victorious. We're already victorious. Now, how many of us do that? Just take your own inventory, okay? That we want to, I'm going to really get into this Easter focus, and I'm going to do it, man. It's going to lead me to being victorious. And we work from victory. The victory has already occurred. Our King is a victorious King. And I want to lead you to the scripture that, too, that we want to emphasize today. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. In that scripture, this is death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Verse 56. Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory. I'm just going to pause there. It's not we're working toward it in the future. We already have it, and we have it through the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the work is not in vain. It has great, great value. Look at 1 John 5. Kim's already mentioned this today. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Now his commands are not a burden. Let's just pause there for a minute. You think the things of God, as a little kid, I just got to be honest with you. I saw people, they were serving the Lord, and it's like they had a chain and a ball around their ankle, just going through life, dragging that, like serving the Lord is this great burden. What does his word say? It says following his commands are not a burden. They're not burdensome, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. You see victory there? And then the next line, this is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So listen, we don't do what we do in hope that we have victory. We live from victory. I'm already victorious in Christ. I've already beat death. I've already beat the grave, even though I've fallen in one. I've already beat all that. I've already done that. Past that, I'm not working so that victory will occur. I'm working from the fact that victory has absolutely already happened to us. So I want you to see that. Your generosity and your praying and your fasting is not that I'll be victorious. Those are spiritual disciplines. It's just that I'm already working from that behalf and from the fact of all that Christ has done. He's done the work, and we live in the victory of every bit of that. So I want to tie this in about even the importance of God's plan of even having the placement of scriptures, which is what Gideons do. They make sure you bump into them everywhere you can. And that's what we want to be a part of. I remember studying early on, even in seminary life, we studied a philosopher named Voltaire. He's a French philosopher. He hated Christianity, wrote about it all the time, and he wanted people to read his stuff, and he had his own printing press in his own house, and he just inundated the area, and he hated Christianity. He called it the infamous superstition, is what he referred to it as. And he even predicted, and he lived in the 1700s, but he predicted that Christianity would be a bygone thing. In other words, 100 years from now, people may look at a Bible, but it's only out of curiosity, because faith would be depleted, Christianity would lessen, even the fact of Bibles would maybe be sparse, just, and they would only be placed so that you could study them like some archaeological find. That's what he believed. And he predicted that. Now, there's some people who said his story's not valid. There's been some validation come out well after that, well documented. So here's the beauty of that. Just even the placement of his word. When God brought in language, spoken language and written language, we know that Christ is the spoken word of creation, that Christ is the living word, and we know that now he is also the written word. He's all of those. So Voltaire made this prediction. He passed away, and so somebody else owned his house where the printing press was, and it's called the Evangelical Society of Geneva. They came in and moved into his house, even though there was a guy living there in that house. And the house that he had, and remember, this guy was so against Christianity, he wrote against it all the time, that the Evangelical Society of Geneva, they had Bibles. They used his house to store Bibles. I think that's funny. I think God has a sense of humor. And then pamphlets, witnessing pamphlets, all that. Then later on, Voltaire's printing press was in the house. They started using the very printing press that he used to go to write against Christianity, that they used his printing press to produce Bibles. I just want you to know, you might think you have the last word, but you don't. Okay? God does. And God, he was serious about the distribution. So with the Evangelical Society of Geneva, and if you know your history, the Geneva Bible came to America on the Mayflower. So it came out of this Evangelical Society that uses Voltaire's house and printing press, who said Christianity was going to wane away. I just think our God has a great sense of humor. I mean, there's giraffes and possums. We can look at those and go, you know, it's kind of funny, right? So he does. The same God is behind Gideon's International. The placement of his word so that people will bump into his word. And why am I saying this together? The switch graphic? So transformation will occur. That's what it's all it's for. Because when the Father draws you, you're going to be changed. And they want the placement of God's word to further on the fact that how he can take a life, and an old life, a beaten up life, and absolutely make it new. I want to get personal, and I want to tag Kim on this in a personal story. You know, Julie and I are going through Papaw's Meemaw stuff, and even our stuff. I said I've become Mr. Junkman. And how many remember back in the day, this was the cooler, the Little Playmate. You remember that? I mean, you were in if you had the Little Playmate, right? And then you had a bigger one for family events, but this was your personal one, right? And Dee will know this. So I've worked for Tennessee Gas Transmission out of Campbellsville. We mowed right of ways. So my mom loaded this down, you know, for me every morning, teed out of. I worked there in the summer times, and we also had a great softball team, as a matter of fact. But I worked there with them, and my mom would pack this in for me. I took it to the coal mines with me in Webster County, Kentucky, Providence. Worked for Dotiki Coal Mines there. The parent company is Mabco. You may have heard about them. There was a time I was thinking about going into mining engineering. I was really in just search mode on what God wanted me to do. I knew the Lord and I was saved. I was just searching, what is it you want me to do? So I'm working in the coal mines, and I remember back, and I had this from college days when I played baseball there. They had, Campbellsville has mandatory convocation. You have to go to it every week. And we would try to find out ways to skip it. And we would try to do that where Everett Lasley could sign me in, you know, and I not be there. And then they got to where you had to be there so long to get credit, and then you could kind of skip out a side door, you know, and not have to stay for the whole thing. And I've laughed because I've gone back and done convocations knowing exactly how they feel about me, you know, the same way I felt about whoever was there doing their convocation. So one day they had the Gideons giving Bibles. And so I was ditching out the side, skipping it a little bit. And they were wise enough to have people stationed there because they knew people skipped out the side. So I went out the back door, and there was a man handing out Gideon New Testaments. And if you don't know anything about Gideons, they're color-coded. Like white ones go to nurses and people in the medical field. Green ones go to college. So if you see different colored ones, there's a reason why they're colored differently. So I've got my green. This is the one I was given. I think it was in 1978. I was given this. And a man gave it to me as I darted out the door. And I kept it with me, obviously. Still have it. And it's just filled with coal dust, because I'd take it with me in the coal mines and work there, and I'd share it. I'd do my own search, and they've done this beautifully. If you're worried, you know, you're angry, they've got it topically lined up for you to get quickly to the scripture you need to feed your soul. And so I would put it in my lunch pail, and I would in this, and I would go eat. And coal miners, they don't talk to you about scripture; they argue with you about scripture. I even practiced today what I learned there. They'd argue with me about scripture, and I wasn't the Bible answer man on the spot. And I wasn't worried about being that. I'd go home and research it and bring it back. So we'd read one thing one day, and then I'd answer them 2 days later, maybe. I actually still practice that today. I don't always on the spot respond, but I come back to people after I've prayed about it and even given them response. And I use this to search my life. God, what is it that you want me to do to bring about even more transformation in my life? And then Julie and I married, and I was at UPS, and I told you she didn't marry a preacher. I was in management with UPS and had a great career there, short career, but a great career. And I just want you to know God's word was incredible in my life. Now, you want to hear the providential, the funny side of this? When I skipped out of convo that day in 1978 and went out the side door, you know who gave me this? My future father-in-law. Papaw gave me this. I knew his daughter. I knew Papaw. I remember coming out going, oh, there's Ted Wynn, you know, and he handed it to me. And but I didn't start dating Julie till later on, actually the next year. But Papaw handed me my Gideon Green New Testament. It's incredible. My first pastorate, I had a Gideon minister of music named Jim Durham. He's actually sang here. Just popped in and visited one time and sang here. I'm going to just show you that being a Gideon is about the Bible distribution. It is about that. It's about you bumping into God's word. But their ministry goes far more than that. We were in First Baptist Russell Springs. We had a Gideon speaker come down here from Anderson, come down to Russell County from Anderson County. His name's Sonny Fentress. And Sonny came, and he was our superintendent of schools here at the time. Actually grew up with Julie's parents in Grayson County. And he came back, and he told Mike Ritchie, who was a Gideon locally, about me. And Mike was the chairman of a pulpit committee. And so here they came. Steve Wells, who's now a pastor, but was a Gideon, was involved in that as well. And Gideons, God using the Gideon ministry helped lead Julie and us even here to this place. It is about presenting God's word and ministry all over the world, but it really goes beyond that. So I had Sonny come back when I was at First Baptist Lawrenceburg, and he was our Gideon speaker there. And then just a few months after that, we started Hope Church. So every time Sonny spoke, we moved. And I was like, Sonny, you're never speaking in my church ever again. I just want you to know, Kim has been here before. When we did the Burgoo Festival, you remember when we used to do church at the Lawrenceburg Green when they allowed us? They don't allow us anymore. But on that Sunday of the Burgoo Festival, Kim was here to absolutely bless us and challenge us in all that endeavor. It just continues to go on and on and on, the Gideon ministry. And guys, some of you are looking to be generous, which we practice during our Easter focus. Where generosity is praying and fasting. If you're looking for a way to be generous, would you give to them today? Because when you give to them today, it's some assurance that Scripture is going to be placed in somebody's hand. And when that happens, the truth of God's word, it is alive. His word is alive. And it brings the switch, our focus. It brings transformation. And then it keeps leading. I wanted to describe how God used Gideon's and the character of Gideon's to absolutely shape and form my life, our life together. So you're looking for something to do missionally. You're looking for something to do. Well, how can I practice my generosity in these next few days? I'm asking you and pleading with you, give to Gideon's International. And if you're here and you're wondering how this structure works, the men are business and professional men. The women are called the auxiliary. They are the praying center. Gideon's are too, the men are too, but Lynette is involved in women's auxiliary. I can't be a Gideon, I'm a pastor. It's just for businessmen, professional men. And maybe that's something God is calling you into. Maybe you need to look into it a little more and serve the Lord in that, because I want you to see a broader scale. It is the placement of his word, but it even goes beyond that. And maybe you need to surrender to that ministry today. God wants to use you to continue, because I believe his hand is on this ministry in a great way. So remember, we do what we do, not looking for victory. We already have it. Do you hear that today? And we have it through the very work in the person of Christ. So let's do our work from, not hoping we get it. We already have it. And it's because of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done. So I know sometimes we tell sob stories and then it becomes a beautiful time to take up an offering when I get you crying, right? But we're going to have people at the doors later. I'm going to hit this again. If you're going to give a check, write it to Gideon's International. You may want to give cash. So Gideon's will be at the door. And again, we're going to hit this again. During housekeeping. But you may want to go ahead and prep for that. You may want to come and just realize, I need prayer. I'm going to ask Kim and Lynette, as I did the first service, to be here in the altar. Some of you may want to come and pray over them. They're very active in ministry in their church, and they're incredibly passionate, and they're active in the ministry of Gideon's International. And you may pray for them specifically and then collectively as Gideon's International. And I want to encourage you don't have to know them to come and bless them and pray for them. And obviously we have other people in the altar for you to come, and you just may need a prayer. You may need that transformation. You may need that victory. It comes from Christ, and you already have that. Okay, you got it? You see that? He brings the transformation, and don't ever forget that as long as you live. Let me pray over you, okay? Father, I pray over our people today. There are decisions to be made here, are being made here, and will be made from here. And Lord, Father, that you're at work. You're always at work, drawing. And Lord, I just pray for the opening today with people. I pray for your drawing of people, that they come for whatever reason. that they come and know that they have victory because of what Jesus has already done. They don't have to work for it. They already have it. He's done the work. And we tell you, thank you for the work of Christ and the truth of Christ. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you come? Kim, Lynette, would you come be here too? And don't be bashful. I want you to come pray. You may want to have a group hug around them or whatever you want to do, but just come and bless them. And then you may want to be seeking out the fact that you want to be a part of Gideon Ministry. I certainly encourage you to come today. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.